Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 122, recorded on April 5th, 2011. Enjoy! All right, it's time for We Have Communicators, the show that covers all things iPhone, iPod Touch, iPad, and App Store. I'm Michael Johnston, and I'm here with Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hey, Adam.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah?
We're back.
Yeah, where have we been?
Doing other things. Being lazy, right? Going to theme parks.
We had been abducted by aliens.
Yeah, I thought I was going to have a good story for that. I should have.
Yeah, we did this last time we went on hiatus for a couple weeks, and we forgot to come up with a good story.
We should have learned from last time.
Yeah.
So maybe I could say, okay, how about this? Why don't you? Okay, no. The interesting thing about all this is, so today I went to the. Also, before I go into that, Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer is also here. So you can feel like you're allowed to talk now.
Oh, good. I feel like I'm part of the group again.
Yeah. So I went to the show post today as I was preparing, and I checked it, you know, because I was kind of curious. I hadn't really heard from anybody. I usually get a lot of emails or Twitters or something complaining about, you know, where the show is, and it's been 2 weeks. But I checked the comments, and I saw, oh, there are 9 comments. And I was like, most of them are probably about us not recording, and of course they were all about Rebecca Black and how how irritated everybody.
Fun.
Yeah, how like half of it was irritation at me bringing it up and including them in that, and then the other half were like just random Rebecca Black jokes. So good job, guys.
Excellent.
Yeah. That
should have been our story. We were on a tour with Rebecca Black, and it's over now because it's been 2 weeks.
Yeah, because there's only one song.
Guess what?
She hits 3 cities a night.
I kicked it in the backseat.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how did you make that decision, though? Wasn't that a hard decision to make?
No, I sat down and talked with Rebecca. You know, we had a really nice discussion about it.
I mean,
where should I sit? And I was like, yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ, I don't know.
And now you guys are just doing this because you're comment baiting.
Are we?
Yeah, because since we got a bunch of comments last time, if we talk about her again this time, we'll get more comments.
So this is like starting up fake iPad rumors?
Exactly.
Oh, okay. I see how this works now.
Just saying, I was not comment baiting. I'm just kind of an ass.
I think she's working on an album. That's what I heard. Like something.
I heard that too.
Let's not get into this. Let's talk about the iPhone.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. So AT&T is reportedly cracking down on those folks like me who tether without a tethering plan. So I have an unlimited tethering or unlimited data plan rather that I've had since I got my iPhone. And through jailbreak, I've been tethering because otherwise I'd have to be limited to 2 gigs and I'd have to pay extra for nothing more than the option to tether. But I guess people are getting text messages from AT&T saying, did you know tethering your smartphone to a computer requires a tethering plan? And then
did you get one of those?
I've not gotten one of those.
Or a letter?
No letter, no email.
Man in black at your door?
No.
Does anybody know anybody who has one of these mythical letters?
I've not heard from a single person who, like, if you have gotten one of these, you know, feedback at wehavecommunicators.com.
Yeah, send us a copy. Because honestly, this story came out and I think people posted copies of the letters or exact text.
Yeah.
So I believe I'm not doubting that AT&T is doing it. What I'm questioning, though, is as I know a bunch of people who do the MyWi tethering hack thing, and all of the people that I know that I've asked that do that have not received a letter yet.
Yeah, I probably use more data than all those people.
So I don't know how much quote unquote cracking down is going on.
Sure. Well, I mean, it is scary regardless. So Let's see here. Here's part of the email. If we don't hear from you, we'll plan. Okay, so our records show that you use this capability but are not subscribed to our tethering plan. If we don't hear from you, we'll plan to automatically enroll you into Data Pro 4 gigabytes after March 27th. The new plan, whether you sign up or on your own or we automatically enroll you, will replace your current smartphone data plan, including if you are on an unlimited data plan. So that, you know, right. that seems pretty bogus, but like you said,
but
so
they
far.
They also did have a line in there about if you stop tethering, we'll all pretend like nothing happened.
Sure. Yeah. And I have heard.
They're just saying, don't do it. Stop now and you'll be okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to stop though. If I get one of those, I'm going to call them up. I think I heard this from Dave Hamilton on the Geek Gab. He has heard from other people that if you call in after receiving this notice from AT&T, if you call them and say, hey, I'm not tethering, I don't know what you're talking about, they'll say, oh, okay, never mind. It doesn't seem like they're... whatever data they're using to infer that, it doesn't seem like it's very... accurate. It could just be that they're checking out your bandwidth usage and making that assumption.
Right. Or a lot of people were assuming the browser headers.
Yeah, something like
that. Show which browser you're using, which would show you were on a desktop browser versus a mobile iOS browser if you were going through the MiFi thing. But the problem with that is you could argue, well, I'm using iCab and I tweak my header information.
Yeah. I mean, there are so many angles at which you can approach this. So, you know, my plan as soon as I heard this was if I do get one of these notices, I'm just going to call them and say, no, I'm not.
Yeah, but you see, they're going to get all the people. They're going to, this is the scare tactic thing. Isn't this a common like Comcast tactic too with the BitTorrenting?
Possibly.
Hey, we know you're BitTorrenting these movies. Stop.
Another one of those things I've never gotten a notice for.
I have a friend that locks horns with Comcast monthly. His bandwidth keeps getting throttled back, and they keep saying that he's BitTorrenting, and he does use a lot of bandwidth, and he's using BitTorrent, but not for movies. But he's downloading like Linux package distros and stuff like that.
Right, or at least that's what he says.
Right, and I'll let him stick to that story. Mm-hmm. But he's not using enough data for it to be that noticeable. I mean, I have a feeling I'm using at least as much data as he is simply by watching movies off of streaming Netflix.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, what's the Comcast limit that they impose, the kind of limit that they have?
Oh, it's like 200 gig or something. It's fairly high. It's high enough that even with me streaming Netflix movies and TV shows all the time, I've never gotten any notice from Comcast about my bandwidth usage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the point is I think this for AT&T, it's like, okay, we'll do this thing. We don't really have any proof, but we can sort of guess. I think you're right. I think they're just guessing. Sending out notices to the people who are the real heavy traffic users, and then if they can get even half of them, 50% of them to stop doing tethering, you know, then they're going to be that much better off. So it sounds like they're not being real strict about it if you call them up, like you were saying with Dave, and that would make sense because I don't think they could really, you know, if you try to challenge them on it, I don't think they could prove it.
Right.
And they know it, but you're going to have a whole other group of people who aren't going to call them up, who are just going to simply stop tethering.
Right, and that's what they're hoping for, I think. Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm looking at my past usage. January, I used 11.9 gigs. December, I used 10.2. But actually, in March, I only used 3. So,
yeah.
But,
you know, I have to say, my little Verizon or Virgin Mobile hotspot thing is working still pretty good for me. About the only complaint I have is it is slower than what I would get with AT&T. So I'm kind of looking at it versus doing the tethering on my iPhone.
Now, is this the thing you're doing with the Android phone?
Yeah, with Virgin Mobile and the Android phone. The thing is that what I have is pay-as-you-go, $25 a month, and it is unlimited. So it's slower. I get about maybe on average like 2 megabit per second downloads. So not blazingly fast.
But you can watch Netflix on there if you want, right?
Yeah, but it'll stream Netflix. It'll stream YouTube. And I don't have to worry about any kind of data cap. Now, whether or not, my question is, with the kinds of usage that I typically use, I don't think I would even go over a 2 gig or a 4 gig cap. And it might be nicer for me to have a little bit speedier browsing and stuff like that. But
they don't offer that. Or do they?
I'm guessing because it's Virgin Mobile and it's through Sprint, I think it's probably throttled a little bit is my guess after using it for a while. Because I think Sprint, if I had native Sprint, it would be faster, but it's also much more expensive. So I think it's kind of a trade-off thing.
Sure.
It's sort of like unlimited data, but it's not, you know, it's more at a little bit better than edge speed rather than true 3G speed, even though it's 3G.
Yeah. All right.
If that's making any sense.
Well, the iPad 2 is still taking a while if you or want to order it online. It's it was for a while. Was it like 5 to 6 weeks initially? Was the longest wait? Then it went down like to 3 to 4.
It jumped up to like 5 weeks really quickly.
Yeah. Now it's down to 2 to 3 weeks. Right. That's the most current thing, I believe.
So it's back to what it was an hour after the iPad was available online.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Have you guys, I've been hearing from people here locally and some of my listeners and stuff like that, that supply at the Apple retail stores is getting pretty good on a daily basis.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I had two people here in San Diego tell me that they were at a store. One was at about 10 a.m. During the week, and the other one was about 11:30 a.m. And they said there was about 10 or 20 people maybe in line, but that they had plenty of stock of all of the models at two different locations, at least here in San Diego.
Yeah, so. Interesting. Well, it seems like they're selling out very quickly at the Apple stores around here. Not just, you know, downtown Chicago stores, but the one in Deer Park, for example, which is a suburb that, you know, people traditionally go to a different one that's fairly close to that one. But even them, I think right now, they generally sell out very early in the morning. And I think that with a lot of stores, as far as I've heard, when they do get stock in, they sell it the next day. And they open early when they do have new stock.
Right.
And there are lines like almost every day.
Still. Now, I don't think they're as huge as they had been though, right?
No. I don't know. But I'm guessing, so no, it's not.
The not lines aren't here. As long as they were.
Yeah. Again, but, though, I have 6 Apple stores within an hour drive of me, so it's not a good example. Right.
And I'm in pretty much the same boat. Yeah. Now, so, what's up with Apple not giving us that availability chart?
Now, that would be very handy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, but the Target hack is a good one.
Now, tell me about that. I heard something about it, but I'm not familiar.
Yeah. So I think there's a post. Didn't Brian Chafin do a post over at TMO?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. And so I found out about it through some other blog, but I have a command line script for actually looking it up. But if you know the internal stock number for Target, Target's mobile site will allow you to do a search. And I guess they're claiming it's updated pretty frequently. I've heard everything from it's updated every hour to it's updated every 12 hours or every day or something like that. But you have to put in, the bummer is you have to put in each number individually into this little query string that you can either load into your browser or you can load in, you know, you can call through like a curl command on the command line. And it'll kick back and tell you which Target stores near you have those in stock at that moment. And it's kind of cool because it even goes all the way down to telling you what aisle the product is on.
Now, how useful is that, though? Because it doesn't seem like Target stores are really getting a lot of stock right now.
Yeah, but the big difference is like Jeff was just mentioning, you know, Apple used to have that thing where you could check in the morning and you'd at least know, okay, these 3 Apple stores in my area have stock.
Sure.
So if I go there at 9, I might have a chance of getting something as opposed to not knowing at all. And so the Target thing works that way. At least you can look and you can go, okay, it says limited availability on 16 gig black Wi-Fi iPads at this location.
Yeah.
So you have a better chance. You're bettering your odds that if you get there earlier or get, you know, see that they have them in stock and run down there, that you might actually get one.
Yeah. Well, guys, I have very exciting news. I got my white iPad.
Sweet.
I'm so glad. First, that you were finally able to get your iPad. And second, that you got one in white.
Yeah. So,
did you get a pink cover?
Yeah. It has Hello Kitty on it already. I got a sticker.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, but
I want pictures.
Yeah. They'll come. Just, you know, hang on. But the, I guess it was the Friday after the Friday that they went on sale. I went to the local Best Buy just on a lark to see, you know, if they had any iPads. They go, no, we don't have any iPads, but today's the last day that you can pre-order or pre-reserve, I guess, whatever language they were using. I was depositing $100, putting my name down, name, phone number, and which model I wanted, and they told me that they were ordering new iPads based upon those pre-orders. And so I did the whole thing, and then toward the end I said, you know, how long do you expect this is going to be? And I was thinking maybe a couple of weeks. And they go, oh, you know, maybe a month, month and a half.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, great. I'm glad I asked this question after I signed up. So I was on my way to Chicago, I think, on a Tuesday, the next Tuesday after that. And I got a surprise phone call from Best Buy saying, hey, we have your iPad in. You can come pick it up. And so all I had to do was go there later on with my Best Buy gift card and, you know, say, hey, where's my iPad? And they handed it to me, and it was really great. You know, that day I was actually, because I was going to Chicago, I was calling all the stores that I would be near and to see if they might have one. And of course, they all said no. We sold out at 7 a.m. or whatever ridiculous time. So it was the Best Buy thing really worked out. I recommend, you know, if there is a Best Buy around, see if they offer anything like that. If you're still looking for an iPad too. But it does seem like the Apple employees around here are still pretty irritated by calls asking about the iPad.
Was it the kind of thing where it'd be like, is this you, Michael?
No, no,
it was yesterday.
No, I mean, it's one of
stop
those things
calling here.
Where I call in and
we don't have any iPads.
Yeah. Yeah, there. I would come in, and then a guard would approach me.
Your calls were, it's me, and the response was no, and that was it.
Yeah, precisely. But yeah, so it's I'm very happy with it. I with regard to the speed, initially I was not as impressed as I assumed I would be with the speed. But as I went on with it, it did seem to quicken up a little bit more. So I feel like the, so I used the special secret multi-touch gestures on the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
I really like those. The only one I don't like is the swiping between applications, because it's really difficult to assume which application is next to the other application. And it seems like the time in which it takes to bring the app, like actually bring it active instead of, you know, some PNG screenshot that it took, takes a lot more time than just switching with the little quick launch bar thing at the bottom.
Yeah, my problem with that thing too, is, and I'm convinced this is why it's not a built-in feature yet, is a lot of the third-party apps don't distinguish between a two-finger touch and a three- or four-finger touch. So I have some apps where doing a two-finger pinch or something like that will do something within the app. And so if you go to do a four-finger swipe between applications, it'll register in the app before you switch over to the next app, that two-finger gesture.
Ah, yeah. See, I've noticed a little bit of, you know, if I'm in Safari or something and I go to do the four-finger pinch, I might hear a keyboard click or two. But when I go back, it doesn't appear to have actually registered that. It seems to discard that.
Yeah. The big one for me that I have the most trouble with is Nebulous Notes, which will, if you use two fingers and pinch, it changes the size of the font. And so I'll be doing some notes in Nebulous Notes, go to Switch, I do the four-finger swipe, and all of a sudden I come back to Nebulous Notes, and I'm like a 24-point type.
So I think
Apple needs to work with developers for a while to say, okay, you have to, there must be a way. I'm not that familiar with the API, but my assumption is that there is a way to say, okay, only recognize two fingers, or it's sort of like the way most of the apps are written, are anything more than one finger, do this, right?
Yeah, I think that it is an issue with, I think the reason it is available to developers is so that they can make their applications compatible with something like that. And, you know, like I said, with the Apple applications and frankly, most applications that I deal with, doing that is not an issue. I have not had issues like that with the four-finger gestures. And so I think that there are ways for developers to filter those kinds of things out. But one instance where that was an issue, I had a friend mention that there's this application, there's this game for your cat on the iPad. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but it's a little mouse that runs around on the screen.
Nightshade plays that game.
Yeah.
Seriously?
And it squeaks.
Yeah, she prefers the laser pointer thing.
Oh, there's a laser pointer one too.
Yeah, you have two options.
Okay, so I have to turn off the multi-touch gestures if I let the cat play the iPad, because it'll switch between applications. And he's not really good at it either. He's only gotten a couple points. He'll look at it and generally he'll try to attack the iPad, but instead of hitting the screen, like, you can see him following the mouse, but then he'll shove his hand underneath the iPad because he'll be confused as to like where the mouse is really.
Okay. Have you tried using one of the fish pond apps?
No.
With your cat? Do that and watch, because they'll actually scoop their hand.
Oh my God.
Their paw as they try and scoop fish up out from your iPad. And they get this very perplexed look. See, like, why didn't I grab that?
This is opening a whole new world of iPad gaming for me right now. So which koi pond should I get? That? Which one should I get?
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Is that a free one?
I think they have a free version, yes.
Koi Pond HD.
And I have Pocket
Pond. Oh, it's Pocket Pond. Sorry, that's the one.
Koi Pond Lite.
And a Pocket Pond.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure I'll find a good one. Yeah. I know what I'm going to be doing when we're done with this is downloading apps for the cat.
This is what our lives have come to. More computing power than was available to send men to the moon so that we can let our cats have games on our iPads.
Yeah. Yep. That's what it's all about. So... Oh, did you guys see the... do we want to talk about the BlackBerry Playbook or the other ones, the Samsung, the Galaxy Tab? Basically, the Playbook 7-inch will be priced the same as the iPad 2, $499 for the 16-gig model, $599 for the 32, and $699 for the 64. Like I said, it's 7-inch and...
has no apps.
Yeah, so good for them. The interesting thing,
their apps are emulated.
The interesting thing for me is that I had my grandma come over the other day to hang out and show her the iPad, because I'm still trying to convince her to get a computer, and I've abandoned the idea of a computer, so we're now working with the idea of an iPad, and so I wanted to show her like the FaceTime stuff basically to try to get her more excited and motivated to get it. And she goes, "Hey, I saw this thing in the newspaper, an ad for, I think, some kind of BlackBerry thing. And I clipped it out because you can get it, you can reserve it at Best Buy for $100 or something like that." I'm like, "Oh, okay, that's nice. You don't want that, by the way." So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe the Playbook, when that's coming out?
Mid-April.
Yeah, April 19th.
And many of the features that you would want to use, Adam alluded to this when he said, and no apps. Like address book features, the calendar features, those aren't there. You have to have a BlackBerry And it,
wait, it doesn't have a calendar or what?
No, they're saying eventually it will. But no,
eventually
it
it'll have a calendar
and an address book. All right. So you have to have a BlackBerry to link your playbook to be able to remotely access that kind of stuff.
All right. Well, good for them. So the
Apple's competitors are just they just have no idea what's going on.
Here's my issue with these competitors. It's very clear that companies that make similar devices look and see what Apple does, and they say, okay, Apple has this thing, we need to compete with them. It's not we need to make a better product than them. It's we need to make a product that's as similar as possible to theirs. And
yeah, but
why? I don't understand.
Deeper than that. It's even worse than that, because they are looking at, there's two things that I see going on. And one is the spec war. I don't even know what RIM is doing, but
yeah, the Galaxy
specifications war is just so wrong in so many ways. With respect to what this product is. And I think I kind of summarized it in my mind as the problem is that everybody's always kind of bagged on Apple that Apple needs to go after the enterprise. That, like, through the 90s and the 2000s or whatever, everybody was like, well, Apple could never succeed because they never make it with the IT guy, you know, the tech geek at the business. And until they make it in business, they're not going to make it. The thing is Apple has always been a consumer-focused company, and they've always been focused on the consumer market. And what's happened recently that I think has caught these other companies off guard is it's not about appealing to the geeks anymore or the IT guy anymore or trying to break into business. What's happened with the iPad and the iPhone is Apple has made consumer technology that appeals to consumers, and they've been doing this all along. That's the funny thing about this is nothing new. Right. But Apple has been doing the same thing they've always been doing. It's just suddenly consumers have taken notice and are excited about these products and are using them. And then what's happening is that the CEO's wife gets an iPhone, right? And he's got his BlackBerry, and his wife is showing him all this cool stuff on his iPhone or on her iPhone. And CEO goes, "Oh, that's really cool." And he starts getting into it, right? And then maybe they get a Mac at their house, and then he's like trying that out. And it's like, oh, this is cool. And then he's the guy coming in and saying, you know what? I want an iPad because I want to use it in the boardroom, and I want to be able to check the email in the email system. And it's the IT guy now that's like freaking out because he doesn't want these things on his network, but he has to because it's coming in from a whole different angle.
I don't want
he's
this on my network because anymore, it's white. Right? Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, it's bizarre, and I think the geeks and the tech companies who are trying to compete, who are the people designing and creating these products, they're not getting it. They're not getting it that it's about the application and how people are using them and not about the number of megapixels in the camera or how much storage the thing has or how it connects to the Exchange server or not.
Right. And, that's, I think that plays into the other point of confusion I have with the Galaxy Tab, which is the 10.1 inch Galaxy Tab. So they made it thinner. They cut the specs down after the iPad 2 was announced. So it went from 10.9 millimeters to 8.6 millimeters, which is 0.2 millimeters thinner than the iPad 2. But in order to do that, they had to cut the quality of their rear camera from, what was it, 8.9 megapixels. No, that's wrong. Do you remember what it was?
Well, and it's not thinner, right? Aren't they? Isn't
yeah, it was an
Samsung.
Eight.
The guys that came out and said that they said it was thinner, but then it really wasn't thinner.
No, that's. I think that was a prototype that was seen that was not thinner. So the but it was an 8 megapixel rear camera with an LED flash, and now in order to cut it down, they moved to a 3 megapixel rear camera. And honestly, it seems like they kind of dumped a good competitive feature. Because if you're someone who wants a good camera on a tablet,
so that you can look like a douche while you take high quality photos, please
sure.
continue.
Yeah, then the Galaxy Tab would have been a much better option, especially considering the fact that is the universal complaint of the iPad 2 is that the rear camera sucks. And so if you want a tablet with a good camera, you know, the Galaxy Tab was a more attractive option at 8 megapixels.
I need to comment on that because I'm one of those people that came out very adamantly and said the cameras on the iPad 2 suck. And I'm gonna stand by that.
No, me too.
From the standpoint of comparing them to my you know, pocket $100 digital camera or my iPhone 4. But what I have to say about that is there's also this concept, and it's, again, looking at this from a consumer perspective, there's a concept of the use. How are people going to be using photos that they might take with their iPad 2? And is it good enough for that application? And are people going to be happy with that? And the answer is yes, because what's happening is people are going to take little snapshots and stuff that they're going to put on Flickr, and or not Flickr, on Twitter, on YouTube, on Facebook, and they're going to upload those, and those images are going to look perfectly fine for those applications. Or they're going to be using the camera for a game, so, you know, some enhancement to a game or some augmented reality thing, and the camera's going to function fine for that. So 1 megapixel, 3 megapixels doesn't really matter all that much because people are going to be happy when they go snap that little quick picture that they want to put on Facebook and they throw it up there and their friends can see it. And the quality at that point isn't really that critical for most people. So they're going to still be happy with the experience. And the fact that it's in there and easy to use is more important to them than, again, how many megapixels, whether it's 1, 3, or 8.
Right.
Well, Adam, didn't you say that you saw people at
Disneyland.
Disneyland?
I did see a woman at Disneyland with her iPad 2 taking a picture of people standing in front of the castle. And I had to like eat my words. I said that would never happen. And there it was. Right.
No,
in front of me.
Have to say
I was flabbergasted.
That is insane.
And my geek mind goes to where are you putting that when you're going on the rides? How is that not going to get just stolen in like 2 seconds?
Yeah.
Because you're not taking it on Space Mountain, or are you?
Maybe you are. Maybe there are some photos from the ride showing some scared woman holding up an iPad, and maybe it's slipping out of her fingers at that moment.
I guess Michael took his on the Superman ride, his iPhone on the Superman ride, so someone should be able to take their iPad too on the Matterhorn or something.
Remember my iPad was also launched from the ride and it was in my pocket. I didn't have it out taking photos. So
yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Maybe if you're actively holding on to your iPad as you're Supermanning around, there's less of a chance of it launching, but let's just be clear. You are on a roller coaster, so it might not be a good idea.
Yeah, but you got to check your Facebook account.
True. Okay, I take it back.
Yeah, you want to tweet as you're going through that barrel roll.
Especially through the barrel roll, just exclamation, barrel roll.
I don't know. You know, it's weird. But again, I think that example proves my point, too, is that I don't have the consumer mind frame. But obviously, there's a consumer mind frame that out there that says, you know what, I'm going to take my iPad when I'm traveling and I'm going to take my vacation photos with it. So, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe
I use my iPhone for photos.
And tablet devices.
Now, my iPad goes with me when I travel because it's a lightweight, very portable tool for staying in communication with people.
Right.
But if I'm going someplace where I'm going to be, like at an amusement park, no, the iPad's going to stay safely tucked away in the hotel.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
And I'll borrow Michael's iPhone when I go on the roller coasters.
Make sure you record because we want to save that video if the phone does survive.
Right.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying, though, is, I mean, do they have Instagram for the iPad yet? I mean, the minute they do that, there are going to be more iPads that, you know, out and about taking pictures, I would imagine.
Yeah, I guess.
It'll be weird, but
I'll be annoyed and I will be the guy who is annoyed at the other guy who's taking photos with his iPad as I'm checking Tumblr on my iPad.
Exactly.
At the very same time.
Yeah, but the difference is you're going to have that really
I'll be saying,
sweet Hello Kitty case.
Here's what I'll be doing. I will be taking a photo with my iPad of the other guy doing that with his iPad, and I will send out a Twitter saying, look at this douche.
Yeah, and you meant with your iPhone, not your iPad.
No, I meant with my iPad. Oh. See, that...
Just to be purely hypocritical?
To be ironic, yeah. That's the humor
part. Awesome.
Yeah. So, Anyway, what do we have here? Oh, did you see Real Racing 2 HD put out this cool video? I guess it was Touch Arcade got a pre-release version of it. So with the iPad 2, as most people probably know, they have that wonderful mirroring feature with the special HD output cables. So you can mirror the display of your iPad, and I guess the guys at FireMint figured out how to do a dual display, not just mirroring, but so you're able to, or you will be able to, have the entire game, the full game, 1080p, on your TV through this cable, and you'll have on your iPad screen, you'll have a little map and some leaderboard statistics and stuff like that, and obviously control there too with the steering wheel. So, I mean, that's very exciting.
Cool. So you can have like your steering wheel and instrument panel down on the iPad and then your heads-up display on the TV.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if other companies can figure out how to do the same thing, and of course they will.
Right.
This kind of takes care of the issue about when is Apple going to come out with a gaming console?
Yeah, it doesn't matter at this point. And it's more attractive to developers because the developers don't have to worry about working with the console manufacturers and, you know, getting licensing to do that kind of thing. They can just put it out whenever they want to and have regular updates.
Well, the Incident already did that, right?
Yeah, the Incident was the first one that I know of that did that. And that, of course, works over, I think, a standard component cable.
Even. Right.
I haven't gotten my hands on this yet because it's not out. But it may even work for, you know, even lower cables. Unfortunately, you know, the component cable won't carry the screen mirroring, right?
Yeah. With the Incident, the Incident was Bluetooth. They did it where, like some of the other games were doing, like Scrabble, I guess. So the difference here is this is happening all from one device, splitting the displays between the two. Yeah, the Incident was if you had an iPhone and an iPad, you could have the game playing on the iPad screen and then controlling it from your iPhone via the Bluetooth controls with different information on that device.
Yeah, but did you see that you could take it one step further and output that output your iPad display to
TV? But you still have just in that case the mirroring. Where I guess the big difference with this one, right, is both bits of video, the one on the screen and displayed on your television, are being driven by the same device, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, still incredibly cool concept, and you're absolutely right on the gaming front. I mean, why does Apple need to build a whole separate gaming machine?
Yeah.
Yeah, and my stance is they really don't.
Well, and I mean, think of the potential too if they can allow developers to build apps in a way that integrate with, say, an Apple TV too. Right.
Oh,
and that be the set-top box that you just, you know, Air Video or Air Connect to or whatever. Maybe they'll come up with like an Air Connect kind of thing, and you load the game on your Apple TV 2 or pieces of it, and then that's the thing that's always connected to your TV, and then you can interact between an iPad and that, or an iPhone and that, or an iPod Touch and that.
Yeah. Did you guys get
that'd be cool.
Did you get the cable?
Yeah, you know what, and I'm actually doing a presentation for the San Diego Mac user group on the iPad 2, and so I'm going to actually get to use it to do some demoing. The thing is their video projector is an older one, and it doesn't have HDMI in, so I was like, I'm not going to be able to do this because the mirroring does not work if you use, you know, you can use the older VGA cable.
Right.
But then you don't get the full mirroring, even with the new OS. But what I found out was their projector does have DVI, and I took my I have a HDMI to DVI cable,
yeah,
and that worked. So do mirroring to a DVI display, DVI input through that same HDMI connector for the iPad.
So, there aren't any third-party cases out there for the iPad 2 yet, are there?
Third-party cases?
Yeah.
I just got a leather case from Hard Candy today.
Okay. And that's...
And I'll have to go look. I might have gotten something a couple days ago from someone else.
So there are there are cases that are coming out.
Yes.
Finally.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, cool.
I saw somebody made a really cool all wooden smart cover, all wood version of the smart cover that actually attaches with the magnets and the whole deal.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm glad there are going to be some people, some manufacturers at least, that will take advantage of all the magnets in there. I think that Spec is actually planning to come out with something that is a full case, but it has a flip around cover for the screen that will be magnetically held on, just in the same way that the smart cover does that, but it'll be a full case. So I'm looking forward to that. So iOS 4.3.1 has been released. I think it was released last week. And I guess, is there anything of note in that?
Fixes the battery problem.
Oh, there was.
Okay. Right.
So what was the battery problem?
That you got about half the battery life when you upgraded to 4.3.
with the iPad 2 or with your phone? Or
All of my...
Just across the devices.
Yeah, all of my iOS devices suddenly dropped to about half their battery capacity.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't think it's 100% back yet, but it's better.
It's dramatically improved.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I haven't upgraded to 4.3 yet because I jailbreak.
Jailbreak, yeah.
But for those who do jailbreak, there is an untethered jailbreak available now for iOS 4.3.1 for every device that will run 4.3.1 except for the iPad 2. So, right.
And I'm assuming that's a hardware issue.
That is a hardware issue because the exploit used to install the jailbreak involves doing some hacky things with the bootloader, and it's a newer bootloader on the iPad 2, and so they'll have to figure out a separate exploit for the iPad 2.
Now, and of course, that will come with time.
Of course, yeah. And I'm frankly very happy with my iPad 2 as it is without jailbreak. The fact that it's fast enough that I don't have to disable, some applications, makes it okay. I haven't upgraded my iPhone to 4.3.1 and jailbroken. I hear that Dave Hamilton did that and has had success with his.
Yeah, the last I heard, Dave is not having any problems at all.
Cool. So I believe he used the dev team's Pwnage tool.
Yes.
And, for those who aren't familiar with that, the Pwnage tool allows you to create a custom firmware package, and you essentially restore with that through iTunes, and then you have a jailbroken iPhone. So check that out, blog.iphone-dev.org, or just search for Dev Team Blog in Google, and you'll find it. So, check that out if you're looking to jailbreak your device. What else? WWDC is happening June 6th through the 10th. And
you can't go.
You can't go. If you didn't get the tickets in the first 24 hours, you can't go. Because they're... No, 12 hours, right? First 12 hours.
Yeah,
it was
half a day. Yeah. So...
It kind of seems unfair. It seems like Apple should have announced when the tickets were going to go on sale. Because, this is kind of an event that developers would very much like to be at, and if it was a situation where someone was away from their computer for a day, then
you mean like everybody who wasn't in the United States or in the correct time zone,
in a different hemisphere.
Yeah.
And buy my tickets. What the?
I guess they did send out an email blast, to be fair.
Yeah, but the email blast for
it went out after
a substantial portion of the planet was when people would be asleep.
Sure.
So unless you actually live on United States time, regardless of where you are.
Which you should be. You have no excuse to be living on any other time. Yeah.
Send your emails to
Jeff@MacObserver. So let's see. The speculation, I believe, according to Jim Dalrymple, He believes, along with other sites, I believe, All Things Digital and Engadget, all have said that they don't anticipate, according to their sources, that there will be any hardware announcements at WWDC. They believe it will be strictly software. And traditionally, over the last several years, Apple has announced a new iPhone at WWDC. So this will be, a new way of doing it for Apple. And I believe the prediction is we won't see the iPhone 5 until, September?
There's rumors that the new iPhone, will be the end of June, in September, or spring 2012.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that if you have some gaming dice handy, just go ahead and roll those and pick the numbers you want and start your own rumor.
Well, based upon the corroboration from various sources, it seems like September-ish is the best bet.
You know, the problem I have with the iPhone being moved to September is that it messes up Apple's really nice cycle of high-profile products rolling out every quarter to keep that revenue stream up consistently. And if you move the iPhone from June to September, now you're taking that whole quarter and you're pulling out the new product for that quarter. Because you have the iPad in the spring.
Yeah.
Or, early in the year. And then you have late spring, you have the iPhone. And then in the fall, you have your iPod lineup. And then you toss your new Macs in between.
Do we know when Lion is going on sale?
Didn't they say in the summer?
Apple had said
we don't
summer,
have an official date, just this summer.
Okay, but so potentially you'd have an OS release around that same time frame.
Right, but they haven't said how much they're going to charge this time. So it could be $29 like they did for Snow Leopard, or it could be $129 like it's been historically.
Yeah, and you'll hear a lot of people complaining when it is announced that it's $130. It was only $30 last time.
Yeah, well, people complain when they have to pay $399 for an application.
No, I know.
For their iPhone.
I'm not saying it's justified. I'm just saying people will complain because people love to complain.
Yes, and I'm backing you up.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It does mess up their cycle, but I'm kind of thinking that it just feels like that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have any evidence to support that other than what I've read. And then when you sort of think about just what's happening with how quickly Apple's been putting out new technology for so long now and where the competition is with everything, that there isn't, I think partially there isn't an urgency for Apple to have to do a new phone in January, especially with them releasing the Verizon iPhone this spring.
True.
I think that'll carry them with some new customers and some new iPhone owners for a little bit while longer. And it also kind of takes some of the sting out of maybe those people who buy the phone then and immediately, 4 months later, a new phone comes out.
Yeah. That's a good point.
There is the other bit where we're seeing some predictions that iOS 5 will have a lot of voice integration.
Yep.
I believe this is from TechCrunch. They say that, because Apple purchased Siri last year, this voice navigation and I don't know if you could even, voice navigation's pretty vague, but
it's more like personal assistant kind of stuff with integration with different cloud-based services and stuff like that.
Right, so you can say, book me a table for two at such and such restaurant. And it
uses Google and OpenTable and a bunch of other technologies behind the scenes to make all the connections it needs to go out and get you a dinner reservation at the local Italian restaurant at 6 p.m. on Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah. It's contextual, too. So you can say, your first search is find a romantic restaurant for, tomorrow night or whatever, or near this location. And then you can, without saying anything more, without restarting your search, you can just say, okay, well, book me a table at that one. you know, on this night or whatever. So it's, you know, very smart stuff. I haven't actually played with Siri a whole lot. I'm sure you guys have.
Not really, only a little bit.
Well, by all accounts,
and then I was like waiting to see what they were going to do.
Yeah, it seems like it's a very powerful tool, and you can check out the YouTube video of it, Siri, the personal assistant on your phone. But the speculation is that we're going to see this voice
the
integration
Apple Knowledge
stuff.
Navigator.
Yeah.
Oh, see, that's what I was just thinking.
Yep. Probably going to see that iOS 5.
Can you imagine being able to use your iPad as Apple envisioned the Knowledge Navigator?
That would be fantastic. Yeah, that, if you haven't seen the Knowledge Navigator, go check that out on YouTube. But that would explain why Apple has delayed the traditional preview of iOS that they generally do. What is that, March? March or May?
Well, and this is going back to why the delay of new hardware and some things makes a little sense to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that you have that going on. You have all the rumors about Apple's cloud stuff sort of being delayed as they're trying to finish up deals with the record labels, you know, the cloud storage locker for music and media and what have you. So I think it wasn't a hard decision when maybe their engineers came and said, this isn't ready. This isn't quite ready. This isn't quite ready. Apple's looking at their sales. iPhones are doing okay. Eh, we can push it back.
Sure.
That's not really going to. It's not really going to affect us too much.
Yeah. Okay. So for the last thing, I think we should probably touch on how, you know, I hate to even go with, you know, how does the earthquake, the Japanese earthquake, affect iPad sales? Because it's,
then don't.
Seems insensitive.
Then we just don't. Those rumors are just, they bug me, quite frankly. It's irrelevant, and who cares if it does or not, right?
Yeah. Well, I will say that according to the Wall Street Journal, the company that produces a polymer used in Apple's batteries in Japan, the building wasn't affected, but the port that services that company is, you know, not available to receive supplies right now. So they're saying that it may affect, they say iPod batteries, but I'm guessing iPod, iPod Touch, iPhone, and all that stuff, probably.
Yep. So we might have to wait 2 weeks, 3 weeks longer to get our device.
Yeah. But poor
I think
us.
We're all okay with that.
It's a very first world issue.
Yeah. You know, waiting a couple weeks under the circumstances. Okay. No problem.
Yeah. And if you haven't already, go donate.
Yes,
give some money to
absolutely.
Red Cross. Because that's a pretty terrible situation over there. That's an understatement. But, so I think, Jeff, so you can find the show notes and our iPhone picks when we usually do them. We're not going to do them this week because Jeff has to run along. But you can find all that stuff at wehavecommunicators.com. And, of course, you can send us emails, feedback at wehavecommunicators.com. Jeff Gamet can be found at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, as well as Twitter, twitter.com/jgamet, and the Zazzle store, zazzle.com/jgamet, is where you can find his lovely drawings on various things, such as coffee mugs, beer steins, shirts, hats.
Underpants.
Underpants, yep. As well as the We Have Communicators mug.
Right. Yep. Everything tastes better in that mug.
Very true. And you'll be on the Mac Jury podcast in about 5 minutes, right?
Yeah, actually, that sounds about right.
Yeah. So, you know, just if you're listening to this right now, just wait 5 minutes on your iPod and it should turn into the Mac Jury. That's how it works, right?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. It's just the internet, right? The internet stream of podcast.
Right.
Yeah.
And whoever you're listening to, it just automatically feeds the next thing they're on right in.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it works. So check that out. It's MacJury.com?
I'm assuming so.
Is that it, Adam?
It probably is.
Yes.
MacJury. Yeah, MacJury.com.
Yeah.
Check that out. I've been on that. Adam's been on that. We've all been on that. It's a great show. Chuck
it is.
Joyner.
Chuck's an awesome guy.
It's Chuck Joyner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So check that out. And of course, Adam Christensen can be found at the Mattcast, mattcast.com, twitter.com/mattcast, and of course, the member version of the Mattcast, member.mattcast.com.
Yeah, you know, I got it, because I can't help myself, I have to do a quick pick, and it's not even my pick. One of my listeners who Apple just got these into their retail stores. Have you guys seen the in-case origami workstation?
No.
Yes.
So it's a little folding case for your Apple aluminum Bluetooth keyboard, so you can keep that protected and put it in your bag with your iPad, and then it folds around and becomes an iPad stand that will work with an iPad, either one or two, whether it's in a case or not in a case, in landscape or in portrait mode. So, and it's like $30. So I'm going to have to go check that out at my Apple retail store, but it looks pretty cool. And he vouched for it, and it's somebody I trust. So
That looks cool.
Very likely a good product.
Yeah. InCase has some good stuff.
Yep. Quick pick.
Yep. The origami workstation. So I guess there is a pick this week. It's $30.
I can't leave the folks without a pick.
You're such a good person. You care so much about the listeners, and I'm just
see Adam rocks.
It's true. That's why we have him on. All right. So, and you can find me on Twitter, twitter.com/MichaelJohnson. Of course, the little reviews that I do occasionally, twitter.com/LILReviews, where I post small reviews of various things. Did I post a review of my iPad yet? I know you guys follow that one very.
We already
closely.
Know the review. You pre-reviewed it.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I did. iPad 2, faster than the original. Thinner, lighter is better, but don't fret if you have the original. Worth the upgrade for me, though. And I will say, based on that review, I was not anticipating the thinness of the iPad 2 and the very slight decrease in weight to be noticeable or really a big deal. But honestly, it's just kind of made it so much nicer to use.
My opinion, and that's the biggest feature, which is why it's hard for me to tell people who have an iPad 1 that they have to get one.
Sure.
It's a really nice feature, and it's very noticeable, but it's not a buy another $600 device.
Because it's thinner. Because it's feature. A third thinner. I will say the speed is also tremendously...
Yes, it's nice.
Nice, yeah.
It's all nice. They're all nice little upgrades, but... If you've already dropped $600 and don't have another $600 just lying around, which most people don't,
you might be able to get some money.
Save your money. Get the next one. It'll have a better camera and will probably be even thinner and have a better screen and all that stuff. Just start saving now so you have the $600 when the 3 comes out.
Yeah. Yep.
Excellent advice.
All right. And with that, we will see you next time on We Have Communicators.
An iPod. A phone.
But anyway, the point of me bringing that up is I realized last night why chicks don't like the whole immediate questioning of what you do. Like, what do you do? Because, like, I was asked that so many times last night, and it was so irritating. Like, after the second time, I'm like, okay, can we talk about something else as the first thing? Can we go to something? Just something? Well,
so if you want to shut that down right away,
whip your dick out.
Well, no, ask me as if you're one of the people. Ask me what I do.
Okay. Hey, what do you do?
Masturbate.
Okay. Pretty close to the whipping the dick out.
Yeah.
You're metaphorically.
You don't have to worry about indecent exposure charges.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then stick your hand out to shake their hand.
This is why
you are recording this, right?
That would be awesome.
This is like a training class.
No, I'm recording right this. Yeah, I'm getting all this. I'm going to talk about this at the next meeting.
Yuck! No. You have to get them and put them away, and you lose them. Nobody wants a stylus, so let's not use a stylus. Nobody wants a stylus, so let's not use a stylus. We're going to use the best pointing device in the world. We're going to use a pointing device that we're all born with. We're born with 10 of them. We're going to use our fingers.